The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you. You are halfway through the Tuesday show. My great thanks to Chief Art Acevedo from the Aurora Police Department. The feedback's been tremendous. Great hour with a guy who's been doing this for a long time, trying to make Aurora safer, and is totally willing to talk about all the steps, the easy ones, the hard ones, and everything in between on the radio show. In fact, off air, I think he foolishly committed to doing this once a month. We are going to set up a regular day for him to come in along, as long as Sergeant Faith permits him to do this. We're going to continue to do it. And I think we're going to call it Cop Talk. And Billy and I off air, we're talking about the idea of getting some theme songs to throw into an introduction. Chips is the obvious one. Maybe one Adam 12. But if you have thoughts, man, you can hit us on the Rumble. And of course, the texts at 710KNUS.com and the 710KNUS app. We're going to continue talking with superstars in their field, bringing up on the VIP line right now. And frankly, someday we'd love to get her in the studio for the same kind of conversation. It is the assistant minority leader for the State House under the Gold Dome, Rose Puglisi. Rose, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, George. I always love being on your show, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you. We got to get you in here at some point. I know you're dealing with kids in the morning, so it's kind of hard to be like, you guys get yourselves to school. Mom's going to go be on the radio. So, but at some point, we got to get you in here. Listen, you have been busy, and I don't just mean you. You and the Chosen 19 who are out there battling for the future of the state of Colorado. Two big areas I want to talk to you about in our time together, and let's start with the one that I know you're passionate about both, but this one really hits close to home for you, and that is there are a bunch of bills that are going to drop today. I don't know how you describe them, but to me they seem like abortion plus bills, or let's enhance abortion. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, George, you know, it's interesting because when the Reproductive Health Equity Act was passed last year, we were all just amazed, right, at the extreme abortion laws have come into Colorado. I mean, just so extreme that even regardless of where you are on the spectrum, when I talk to people about what that law actually says, they are abhorred, right? Like the fact that you can basically abort almost up to the time of birth is a little too extreme for Coloradans, no matter where you are on the spectrum on abortion. And so the fact that they are throwing three more bills into the mix this session, as if they hadn't gone far enough last time. And it's really very disturbing about the conversations. One of these bills, and George, you'll appreciate this, will actually criminalize pregnancy resource centers for advising a woman that she has another option outside of abortion, advising her that she could choose life, giving her the option to have this abortion reversal pill, which I didn't even know existed, to be honest.
I hadn't heard of it either before it started hitting the news recently.
I know, but you could actually reverse an abortion if you change your mind. And Democrats are taking those choices away from women. The party that, you know, is famed allegedly for giving you choices are taking the women's choices away. And what really is disturbing is they're taking away a woman's right to choose life. So I think these abortion laws are far beyond government overreach.
Rose, do you remember when there were other bills being considered that said, you know, that we're talking about what advice could be given when someone was seeking some sort of reproductive information, and the left went nuts saying you can't get between a doctor and the patient when talking about all the potential choices, abortion being one of them. But now that they have firm control of every lever of state government, now they're like, but you know what? Let's keep secrets from you on the things that won't require a doctor to get inside and rip some stuff out of you.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. The other problem that, you know, we've talked about kind of briefly, and I really, really want to hone this point in, is the ability now for minors to get some advice regarding abortion without parents. And
Wait. Tell me about that one, because I am a parent. That one pisses me off. What are they doing?
I mean, basically, a minor can go and get counseled for an abortion, and they can do it without the minor's permission.
Without the parent's permission?
And without the parent's permission, yes. But what we're seeing is this consistent trend towards taking parents away from their children, taking away our God-given rights to parent our child in the way that we see fit. And we saw that, I mean, I really struggled 2 weeks ago where children could override their parents' opt-out on school mental health assessments. And we were standing in that room, and the Democrats, the majority party, was saying, you know what, at 12 years old, they have the right to make those medical decisions for themselves. I mean, this trend is incredibly scary for parents like you and me, George,
who are just
trying to raise our children.
Yeah, listen, I'd be pissed off enough that if that happened and I felt like it was going off my kids, I would rip them out of school and homeschool them, even if it meant having to quit a job or two. Because there's just no chance I'm going to let the school tell my kids what they can and can't tell me. The other part that's crazy about this, Rose, is this is taking place at the exact same time that on the other end of the spectrum, when you have these kids committing crimes and all this, we're telling people, well, their brains aren't formed appropriately yet. We can't even hold 12-year-olds accountable for anything short of murder, but we can sure trust their judgment when it comes to things like abortion and mental health.
Well, yes, and this was a frustrating conversation yesterday on the floor when they were talking about the raising the age to purchase firearms from 18 to 21, and they were saying your brains are not properly formed and they can't make the right decisions, but at 12, my 11, almost 12-year-old can start making medical decisions for herself, but her brain is fully formed to do that. I mean, the hypocrisy is beyond what any of us could have expected.
You can't trust them when it comes to things like guns, but you can trust them when it comes to things like voting, like 18, old enough to vote for governor, but not old enough to possess a firearm. And then 12-year-old, you're old enough to make decisions about mental health, keeping your parents from knowing things about you. But at the same time, if you go out and rape a classmate or shoot a teacher and they live, you can't be held accountable through the juvenile justice system because, gosh darn it, you're just too young.
Yeah, the double standard, I mean, it's just really, it's not good way to govern, right? This is not good lawmaking. This is not good governance. The three abortion bills will be up today, two in judiciary, one in health and insurance. We've been sending calls to action, trying to organize our grassroots because, George, we've talked about this. They think they have a mandate. They do. They truly believe that they have a mandate. And if we don't show up and if we don't make our voices heard, they will have a mandate. And we cannot let that happen. So I encourage everyone, if you can, and you can testify so easily. You don't even have to come up to Denver anymore. You can testify right from the comfort of your home on Zoom. Please, George, I'll send you the links if you want to send those out to your listeners.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's really important that we get that information.
Do you
out.
Get the sense that... after you're given the amount of time the Democrats think you're entitled to, that they'll cut off debate on this like they did on the firearms bills?
I would anticipate potentially this could be one where they do cut off debate. You know, too early to tell still. But, you know, last year, and I wasn't in the legislature last year, but, you know, they went 24 hours on the abortion bill last year. So I think they're prepared for that, and I guess we'll see what measures they take to silence us.
Remind us again, before we shift topics, talk a little bit about what happened this week with that exact topic regarding the firearms bills. Tell us what the three bills are and give everybody just sort of a quick one-sentence synopsis of what each of these bills tries to do so they can focus on them.
For the gun bills?
No, for the abortion bills.
All right. Give me I feel like I have pop quizzed you.
I didn't mean to spring the numbers on you and all that stuff, especially while you're driving.
Oh, no, no. No, no, no. You're fine. You know, we've got the Deceptive Practices Bill, and that Deceptive Practices Bill really was the one where it criminalizes pregnancy resource centers, basically saying that they are using deceptive practices to give give people options, the right to choose life. And I think that that's horrible. One of the bills deals with insurance coverage to make sure that that abortions are covered, fully covered, no-cost abortions. And I think that's a huge problem because, you know, we don't fully cover things like cancer. My daughter has some serious health issues, and I've had to pay some, you know, some high premiums and to deal with all of that. And that's not fully covered. And so fully covering abortions, I think, is just beyond. So there's definitely some really bad stuff coming, some things that we're focusing on. So I will definitely make sure that you have all of that information. George, I think that you're on my email list.
Yeah, I think so, too. I get all your weekly updates, which are terrific.
Yeah, so hopefully you have that information.
Can you talk a little bit here about what happened with the gun bills? We had, I think, four. I think we're still waiting, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're still waiting on the semi-automatic weapon ban bill. But there were four bills that dropped that touched upon what the proponents call gun safety and trying to end gun violence. Candidly, Rose, and I've only been doing the criminal justice thing for about 28 years, none of these bills would have prevented any of the crimes that people can reference in their minds, whether it's the mass shootings or even East. None of the bills that are being proposed and run through the House this week would have prevented East. It doesn't appear that they would have even prevented what just took place horribly in Nashville, Tennessee. Tell us what took place with the debates.
So we started debate on a Friday afternoon, and we're continuing the debates. I mean, the first debate, which, you know, lasted far into the night, was on whether you can sue not just a manufacturer. I mean, it went way beyond manufacturers. You can sue the FedEx driver who delivered an accessory to a firearm. I mean, it again, like, there's no common sense in some of this legislation. And we fought really hard on that bill way into the night on Friday. I think we ended around 11 and then resumed at 9 o'clock on Saturday. They decided not to continue with the manufacturer bill. And they went then into the extension of the red flag laws. And, you know, anyone can now tell on their neighbor that they think that they might be a risk. And potentially get their firearms taken away. I mean, completely unconstitutional.
Can your neighbor do it?
So then we started with that debate.
Can your neighbor do it? And I ask that not facetiously, but your neighbor has more interaction with you on a daily basis than even a teacher at the college level. And by the way, since they've banned kids, did they ban kids? Or are they going to under the age of 21 from possessing firearms? Is that what they're doing?
They will. Not from possession. They did take the possession piece out.
Oh,
what
great.
They did was, now they just can't purchase it. They can possess it. They just can't purchase
so
it.
So someone can give it to them. Great. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the three-day waiting period, which, as we know, every crime committed with a gun is a crime of passion, that 3 days would have stopped it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you know, and I talked a lot about, you know, domestic violence victims and victims of sexual assault who feel like they need to be able to protect themselves. And, you know, now they have to wait 3 days. And what happens within that 3 day period? I also talked yesterday on the extreme risk protection orders about how the system, I mean, George, you and I both know, right? That sometimes the system is used against good people for nefarious purposes.
Yep.
And, you know, I think when we do these expansions, we have to think about the unintended consequences, which it could help good law-abiding citizens. And so I think, you know, it's a fight that we've had. We continue to fight all day Saturday and then Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, well, on Saturday evening, all the days seem to blend at this point. But on Saturday, they decided to invoke Rule 14, which basically says they can allot a certain amount of time for debate, and then the debate ends.
How often has that happened, that Rule 14 invocation?
You know, it has not been used. No one in recent memory can ever remember it being used to stop debate.
Now, the other side has said, I've seen this on social media, we allowed 15 hours of debate and we agreed in good faith to amendments, but the other side just wouldn't stop. And therefore, we had to keep moving forward because, of course, safety, goodness, and we love kittens and all that stuff. Well, what's the truth of what happened there?
You know, we will continue to fight for as long and as hard as we can to protect the constitutional rights of our constituents. That's what it boils down to. But the reality is, and I really want to hone this in, that elections have consequences. And being in a super minority gives them the ability to silence us when they feel like we've had enough debate. And so I really do hope that this is a wake-up call that we need to come together as Republicans to get some more seats back in their next election. So I do hope that this is a good motivator, in addition to horrific gun laws, horrific abortion laws. I really do hope that these are unifying issues. But the reality is the majority is the majority, and they control the rules.
Does it take a simple majority to invoke that Rule 14 that cuts off debate?
It's a two-thirds vote, but they have that.
What about in the Senate, though? They don't quite have the supermajority there, so they can't cut off debate there. So that could go on. Is that still a tactic or something that the Senate Republicans can use? Do you end up chatting with them much?
I do try to stay in touch with them as the minority leader. We haven't talked about this specific issue. They were unable to get any amendments through on the Senate side, and they had vigorous debate as well, but Rule 14 was not used.
Rose, what is left? What's the other shoe to drop? What have you heard about when they're going to pass this semi-automatic weapon ban thing?
So we found out yesterday that the assault weapons ban will be in committee on Wednesday. Information is slowly trickling in, and I will get that information
tomorrow,
out
Wednesday.
But yeah, is tomorrow Wednesday? Yes, tomorrow would be Wednesday.
But that's
sorry,
the Wednesday
when
you're talking
7
about.
7 days now, 8 days now, 9 days. Yes, that is the Wednesday. The tomorrow Wednesday. We found out yesterday that it was scheduled for tomorrow Wednesday. We will get information out. And we'll see. That's an interesting one. You know, what we're starting to see, in my opinion, is kind of some cracks developing on the Democrat side between their kind of more moderate Democrats and their more extreme Democrats. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds if the assault weapons ban gets out of committee. I guess I remain hopeful that there will be enough Democrats that side with Republicans on that one and not get it out of committee. But if it gets on the floor, I believe it will be a huge floor fight.
Let me ask you before we go, can folks, if they're interested, testify on these extreme abortion bills remotely?
Yes, absolutely. I've sent links out, and you can just sign up, testify remotely, wait in the queue patiently for your turn. But yes, you can absolutely do this remotely. You do not need to come to the Capitol to testify. We need every single person there to really get our voices heard.
You've got the links, but if folks don't have access to them or they don't go to our website, where I'm hoping to get Mark Crowley to post them there, what should folks Google to look for to find how to testify on these bills?
If you go to the Colorado Legislature website, they will have all the bills that are up. Just search for the bills you're looking for, and you'll be able to sign up to testify. And you can send written testimony in. I will tell you from experience, I have not seen where they've actually read that testimony. So if you can testify in person or on Zoom, that would definitely be preferable. But we'll take your written testimony as well and make sure it gets into the record.
Assistant Minority Leader from the State House, Rose Puglisi, as always, thanks for making us smarter and giving us some of your time. We're going to continue to call upon you to update you on this stuff. And I promise somehow I'm going to cajole you or coerce you into coming into the studio to do this face to face.
Let's do it. I would love to.
Awesome. Rose Puglisi, thanks. Get back to the good work that you're doing. Hey, folks, what are you hearing there? We've had some texters come in. 303-696-1971. The gun thing is a legit issue. I've gone back and forth on the Twitter with some of the legislators, mostly those on the left, and some other wing nuts who keep chiming in. My favorite are the ones who don't have the guts to put their own name behind their Twitter handle, but nonetheless, tweet away as if we know each other. And I'm happy to respond. And there have been some things back and forth. I'll go through some details here, but I'll talk to you about these bills that they were super excited to try to get through the House by cutting off debate. None of them would have made a difference at East. None of them would have made a difference at the other major crimes that I've been a part of in terms of prosecution. None of them would have made a difference, it appears, in Nashville. And we'll talk more about that throughout the hour, as well as in the 9 o'clock hour when we get Amy Weirich, former district attorney from Memphis, on in that hour. You stick around, but not before. I'm not going to cut away for a break yet. I want to talk to you about selling your home and buying a home. I still am on this email, I don't know if it's a listserv, but this email serve that tells me about houses that pop up within certain parameters in Parker and Castle Rock. And by the way, they can set you up with that. If you're not sure if you're in the market yet, but you want to see what's going on, any realtor can do this for you. But Gay Ribble at Empower Home, Team Keller Williams, and the Reynolds Empower Home team in particular, they can get that done for you. And then every day you get an email about what's a new listing. Has the price increased? Has the price decreased? Those are things that whet your palate and they get you excited for the idea of, hey, is the market moving the direction you want? How's my house going to be impacted by that? All important things. But as you get more serious about your home selling and home buying thing, you really have to give Gay and the Reynolds and Power Home team a call, because they're the ones that make an otherwise stressful situation more stress-free. You can call them at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. But you can also check them out at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. The reason you go to them, they're the simple ones. It's not just the stress-free stuff. It's not just the fact that Gay is a good human being and you will feel better about yourself having chosen her and the team to work with, but also because they do things better, faster, and for more money in your pocket than the other realtors. Whether it's an average of $30,000 or more on a sale, whether it's an average of selling your home faster than the 43 days, that's the normal. And God, who wants to be trying to sell their home for 43 days? That's damn near 6 weeks, folks. They also have the free workshops at Empower Home Free Workshops. It's all baked right into the name, folks. Empower Home Free Workshops.com. They do it all for you. They're the folks that if I'm in this market, I'm going to them. I'm asking Gay. She is the expert, and that team will put your mind at ease, get you top dollar for your old house, get you the best deal on the incoming house, on the new house. Check them out. Stick around. We're going to take phone calls at 303-696-1971. I'll continue to peruse the text here. It's George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. A little Cranberries to get us in between. My thanks to Rose Puglisi, Assistant Minority Leader, for the House Republicans out there under the Gold Dome fighting the good but dang hard fight. You think about that. When they have a supermajority, they can just tell the other side, we're done listening to you. We're moving on and getting our way. That's exactly what's happened here. They don't have that. They're very close, but they don't have that exact majority, supermajority in the Senate. So we'll see what happens with some of these bills. The ability to filibuster there, I think, is going to be much stronger. But here's what's going on, folks. We are being subjected to a significant number of murders, homicides, and gun violence things. And when I say gun violence, I'm excluding suicides, not because they aren't tragic and they don't deserve their own consideration. But I don't see that the same way I see legit victim gun violence. And people that commit suicide, to the extent that they have mental illness, I guess they're the victims of themselves or their mental illness. I just don't see that the same as you or me or our kids or our neighbors in a mall, a theater, a church, a school being shot and killed by some evildoer. I don't see those as the same thing. And to put them all under that same umbrella, gun violence, they do it deliberately to make the numbers seem far more serious than that, than what they really are. However, we've seen a number of mass shootings that have taken place. I think the last thing I heard last night when I was preparing for this was maybe 119 or something mass shootings that have taken place nationwide since the beginning of the year, which seems like an incredible number, but there it is. And the latest one, at least the one that has gotten a ton of attention, is that horror out of Nashville, Tennessee. And that involves a transgendered male named Audrey Hale, 28-year-old, graphic designer, kind of like a freelance graphic designer, who made the decision to arm herself with two assault rifles or assault-ish, and I use that with air quotes because who the hell knows what any of that means, as well as a handgun, and went into a school that she had formerly attended. It's a small Christian-based private school. And not only murdered three staff members there, all of whom were at least 60 years old, but then murdered 3 9-year-olds. And I'm happy to report, based on my own understanding of things, and I could be completely wrong here, she will burn in hell for all eternity for having done what she did. And I'm quite comfortable with that outcome. I would much rather have her here alive and able to figure out a way to get the help that she needed before she pulled the trigger and took a single human life, but six innocent lives, including three little angels. Folks, 9 years old, that's like third and fourth grade. That still believes in Santa and the Easter Bunny. You know what I mean? That's still crawling to bed with you when things get a little scary or they have a nightmare. And this person went in and shot and killed them with a high-powered rifle. But it's things like that that get people to make emotional pleas to do something. And so yesterday at a press conference in Nashville that was with the chief of police and some others, a woman walked up to the podium, kind of hijacked the podium. She wasn't part of the official press conference, but she became part of the official press conference. Her name is Ashley Beasley. She is a mom. She also claims to be the survivor of a shooting from July of just, I think, last year. And this is what it sounded like.
Covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park, Illinois. My son and I survived a mass shooting over the summer. I am in Tennessee on a family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? These shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation. Aren't you guys tired of this? Are you guys sick of it? We have to do something. We all have to call our lawmakers, and we all have to make our lawmakers make change now, or this is going to keep happening, and it's going to be your kid and your kid and your kid and your kid next.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it is going to keep happening. That's the horrible epiphany or revelation that I've had. I imagine you've had the same thing, and in part it's because you just can't outlaw evil, and frankly, when it comes to the state of Colorado, we're less interested in punishing evil than we are in excusing it away and trying to come up with a reason why it shouldn't be punished and we should blame someone else or just provide people some mental health services and somehow that will make it all go away. So, but her plea there is clearly an emotional one. It is clearly one that is designed to say we need to do something. And her answer, if you caught it in there, was we need to get Congress to take steps for legislation that are related to gun safety. Now, that really just means gun control, and there's probably good gun control in there, and there's other gun control like we're looking at in Colorado that aren't going to make any differences at all in these matters. They're only going to put greater limitations on the law-abiding. Now, my understanding is the 17-year-old now deceased by his own hand shooter from East, that guy had a ghost gun. Now, I don't know if it was because of a kit that he put together, it was something that he built, it was a combination. I don't know any of those things, but it doesn't matter because simply outlawing ghost guns isn't going to change the fact that ghost guns will be out there and they'll be made. Whether it's through 3D printers, black, it's going to happen. The fact that they're going to create these waiting periods, the 3-day waiting period, wouldn't have stopped the 17-year-old at East. And it looks like, and we don't know yet exactly when she acquired these two rifles and the semi-automatic handgun, but we're going to need to know more about Audrey Hale, the mass murderer, including of children. But it doesn't look like they were purchased within the last 3 days either. And I'm open to be corrected on that, but I just haven't seen anything that gives any indication of that at all. It's interesting, too, because most of these people have a tell. Most of these people give it up that they're planning on doing something. And so, for instance, this Nashville mass killer of children sent a what is being described as a chilling suicide note to a friend of hers, writing, "I'm planning to die today." I mean, that's crazy. It says, so basically that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note. I'm planning to die today. The shooter wrote using the name Aiden. That's their self-selected name for their self-selected gender. This is not a joke, that person wrote. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life. I mean, that's the tell that comes out of this thing. I mean, this is some craziness stuff here. That's where we should be focusing our attention, on identifying these people earlier and making sure we're in a place to try to intervene and stop them, or at least monitor whatever it is that they're doing. But when you go out on the social media and announce, I'm going to die today, what we don't know is the person that she sent the message to, I don't know if she sent it to the cops. This same shooter said, my family doesn't know what I'm about to do. One day this will make more sense. I've left more than enough evidence behind, but something bad is about to happen. I don't get then why you wouldn't just simply notify the police. 911, oh my gosh, here's this person. Here's where they live. Here's what they look like. Here's all this other stuff. Instead, the person said, I tried to comfort and encourage her and subsequently reached out to the suicide prevention helpline after being instructed to by my father. Well, it's not helpful. It's not suicide that you're worried about. She's talking about doing something horrible. It ain't just going to be to herself. But we didn't end up doing that stuff either. Called Nashville's non-emergency line at 10:14 and was on hold for 7 minutes. Explain to me why you called the non-emergency line. That part doesn't make sense to me. Because it was about 14 minutes later that this person bursted into the school after shooting through the front doors and killed a bunch of people. But do you feel like Ashley Beasley, like the legislature, whether it's state or federal, they've got to do something. Is any of this a fix? 303-696-1971. Rusty, you're on 710. Rusty, what are you thinking?
Well, there's so many issues here. First of all, and I am not implying that all transgender people or people who identify as transgender are violent or dangerous.
I agree.
Or whatnot. But a percentage of them are super messed up. I mean, I'll just leave it at that, you know, mentally ill or whatever. And it's so confusing to those of us who don't live in that world, I think, because, I mean, just a little bit ago, you referred to the person as a woman, and then you said he. And it's, you know, when you say a transgender man, I've finally settled on what that means is someone who identifies as a man but was a woman. But this person apparently identified as transgender without designating a gender. So, but clearly,
I thought I had read somewhere, man, that she had picked pronouns. I thought that was true.
Male
pronouns on social media.
Ashley, and identified as a transgender, but not as a male, but yeah, he, she was, and maybe that does imply that, but it's just so messed up. And the other thing that I've sort of been advocating in all this, I mean, every time it happens, we have the same discussions, is security at the school. And, you know, she sort of shot that one dead with the way she got into the school. It was a locked side door, but she just shot it out. You know, that's how she got into the school. So what do we need? Do we need, you know, 4-inch metal doors around all the schools and every entrance so that somebody can't shoot out the door? I don't think that's necessarily a practical solution. It's something we should strive for over time. But I agree with you, really. I mean, mental health is the key, and we have to be able to identify people who are risks and interdict and provide them with the help that they need before it gets to this point. But this person, one other thing, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling. This person apparently attended that school.
That's right.
When they were 6, 7, 8, 9, and they're 28 now. So if they were harboring some kind of grudge from the time they were at school, you know, that's quite a grudge. That's you know, Hatfield and McCoy kind of grudge.
Well, I want to know what's in the manifesto, what's been described as the manifesto.
Yeah, I'd be willing that it's something about it's against Christians, because Christians speaking out against, you know, these transgender issues and all those sort of things. That's my 50-cent way.
Well, I wonder if we'll be treated to more of this. Hey, this was because they were treated insensitively, or the church made them feel guilty about their chosen gender. Or I wonder if we're going to see that. But I'll say this, the manifesto, and I'm using air quotes here, manifesto, in the Aurora Theater case revealed what was making that dude tick, and it was his hatred. He just had a hatred for mankind. It wasn't specific to a gender, a race, an ideology, a religion, none of that stuff. Just wanted to kill as many people as possible. I don't know that that will be true here, but I am interested to hear what this person wrote down in anticipation of their own death by way of explanation for what they ended up doing. In fact, she ends up saying to her buddy here on this social media thing, or her text, you'll know more later. And I do want to know what it was that drove them. That's not the only answer here. But, you know, when you look at the bills, Rusty, that the legislature on the House side are jamming through, ain't a one of them something that could fix this. Like, the only bill that could touch upon it is that now, under Colorado law, if this thing becomes law, people will be able to sue the gun manufacturer, not because they had anything at all to do with the crime itself, the mass murder itself. They just produced the thing that was used, and thus they're on the hook for it. And we're going to see those kind of lawsuits really take off. And the fact that they want to empower our hapless attorney general to take this on, the most partisan political officer I have seen at the state level, I'm including the governor in this, in my lifetime, to arm this guy with the ability to sue gun manufacturers, gun sellers, anyone who's ever used the letters G-U-N in the same word, that's craziness. And yet none of it would have prevented Nashville.
Well, there's no shortage of craziness. I mean, last night my wife and I had a discussion about this, and you know, she's thinking sort of along the lines of, well, we got to get rid of guns. And it's just not realistic. And my rant is, we got to do something about drugs. If we were really, really tough on drugs, there wouldn't be the homeless problems, there wouldn't be the drug problems. But yes, there would be some of that still. And she says, well, we need consistency. I mean, if we're going to get rid of drugs, then we got to get rid of guns. And neither one of them are fully realistic, but one is I think guns can be useful in defending oneself, but they also have the potential for horror and illicit drugs. I don't see much good coming out of illicit drugs.
I don't either. I mean, and Rusty, thanks for the call. There are going to be those folks that say, hey, we had a war on drugs for decades. It didn't do anything appreciable. There's obviously ways we went about it that weren't effective, but to simply decide then that we're now going to just have a war on sobriety and personal responsibility as a response, we can see how that's working. Crime has surged, and it's not going to be abated by holding people less accountable and suing gun manufacturers. Remember, these are people who at their core think guns are the problem, and we would be a better society if the only people that had guns were police and law enforcement. That's what they believe in their heart of hearts. Many of them at this point now in Colorado, in Super Blue Colorado, they would tell you that. We need guns to go away. We want to magic away the guns. Not going to happen. Here's something from a texter I've read that her father had been a pastor at the church involved with the school. That would be interesting if true. The parents should sue the city, county, and state for the regulations imposed creating the environment. I'm open to that idea, too. If we're going to now sue the people who've made the gun that someone else misused, why not be able to sue the state legislators who put in place a law that permitted such an outcome or made it easier for people to get out of jail when they've committed an offense? That would be interesting. If legislators were on the hook for the results of their legislation, my guess is we'd see some real moderation in the steps that they take, but they never have to deal with the consequences. They're just looking for that next position. Listen, we're going to cut away for a break. We're going to continue to get through the texts as I read through them. And you can give us a call at 303-696-1971. Johnny, everybody else, we'll get to George Brocker back with you here on 710 KNUS. We're going to try to get through the callers that we can. Johnny, you're on 710. Johnny, I got about a minute or so I can give you. What do you got?
All right. Thanks for taking my call. One of the things that I noticed with this school is there was no fencing around it, and I was kind of shocked when I saw that. My grandkids, when they go to school, there's a 7-foot-high fence. If you make these schools such that you have a fence around it, there's only one way in, one way out, and have some sort of armed guard there, this stuff is not going to happen.
I don't know what we can do with the one way in, one way out piece. I imagine to get people in through the front when school starts, maybe that's it. I've heard that that creates a bottleneck and a potential a target of opportunity. But here's what we do know from this. We know that this shooter in Nashville scoped out places other than this one, at least one other, and chose not to go to that other one because it had too much security. So we know that hardening the target is a deterrent, especially to these mass shooters. That makes some sense to me. Johnny, thanks for that phone call. Listen, Joe, I want to get to you. Here's the problem we've run into. I'd only be able to give you 25 seconds, and that's not fair to you or the listeners out there. We're going to cut away for a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Amy Weirich. She's the former district attorney out in Memphis. I want to have a conversation with her about this, about the things that are going on. Stuff like that from someone who's on the ground out in that area. And then after that, Joe, if you want to call back, you can hold too. That would be awesome too. We'll get as many callers as we can on here. This issue isn't going away, as we can see, horribly. You stick around now. It's George Brockler on The George Show. You're listening to 710 KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.